Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll continue now with our coverage of the conflict in the Spring Valley area, the East Ramapo School District in Rockland County, over funding of public and private schools. If a budget vote taken on Tuesday stands, the public schools could lose all its sports teams and clubs and shorten the school day from 8 periods to 7, according to a school district official quoted in the Journal News. The context of intergroup tension here is that the growing Hasidic population that sends their kids to private schools has also elected a majority on the school board. A deficit and deep public school budget cuts hurt the mostly black and Latino immigrant kids who do attend the public schools. The cuts are hugely controversial, especially as religious school transportation and special needs services are maintained as the Hasidic population grows to be much bigger than the public school population. Those services must be funded by the public school budget under state law. School board elections and school budget referenda were held all over New York State on Tuesday. And they don't do this in New York City, for those of you listening in the boroughs, because New York City public schools are not funded by the property tax, as they are almost everywhere else. But of all the school districts in Rockland County, only East Ramapo defeated its budget. Of all the school districts in the lower Hudson Valley area, only 5 did. So East Ramapo definitely an exception here. And let's find out what it means from Marisa Nicosia, correspondent for the Journal News, the Rockland and Westchester newspaper. Thanks for coming on, Marisa. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So why was East Ramapo the only district in Rockland County to defeat its school budget, which had proposed a school tax increase of about 3.1%? Does it come from the uniqueness of the conflict there?
Well, the district has defeated its school budget proposal the last few years, and that is the speculation from a lot of people in the district that the conflict fuels the regular defeat of the budget, and that's mostly because there's a large population of Orthodox and Hasidic residents and taxpayers who typically have said that they oppose any tax increase.
Did the Hasidic leadership endorse or campaign for voting against the budget?
This year, they did not. In past years, there is a taxpayers association that represents many of the Orthodox residents, and they have recommended that people vote no on the budget, but this year they broke from tradition.
Meaning they endorsed the budget, or they just abstained and kind of assumed most of the Hasidic residents would vote against it anyway?
I believe they supported the budget, but
you're not entirely sure.
Wrong information.
Do you know if the other school districts' votes in the county had similar school tax hikes of about 3%? Was the number controversial, or is this about what county, what towns in Rockland are increasing their school budgets by?
You know, East Ramapo is right in the ballpark of the other districts in Rockland County and throughout the state. Most of the tax levy increases are between 2 and 4%, and they had 3.13, so that's right in there.
The budget gets a second vote now. You reported that if it's defeated again, this public school official who spoke to you said the public schools in East Ramapo will eliminate all sports teams and student clubs. Wow. And reduce the school days from 8 periods to 7 periods a day. Double wow. Is that known, or is that his prediction for how they would have to deal with those budget cuts?
That's absolutely his prediction. Nothing is set in stone at this point. So once it's expected that the district will pursue a second budget vote, which would have to happen by June 18th, they actually set up a meeting tonight where they'll discuss whether they will hold a vote, and if they will, the school board will authorize the vote. So it remains to be seen, you know, what happens in that second vote, and then we would know whether a contingency budget is where the district is going, or whether, you know, that devastating scenario can be avoided.
I want to take one call, as people are calling in on this, from each side of the school budget vote. First, we'll go to Elisa in Suffern, who voted no. Elisa, thank you very much for calling in.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to point out that, as you say, the tax levy increases in Rockland County are in line with other places, but the demographics in Rockland County are very different than in other places. And it is correct that the Orthodox population has grown tremendously, and it is also correct that the Orthodox population does not send its students to the public schools. However, they do pay an enormous amount of property tax, and they do pay for these public schools. And the private schools themselves do not have sports clubs. They do not have chess clubs. They do not have tennis courts in their schools. And yet they're paying for these things for the public schools as well. I also want to point out that when there were no Orthodox members on the board, the Orthodox schools had a very hard time getting any special education for their students. They had to jump through hoops to have their students bused to other places so that they could get services. It was not allowed to do this in their own schools. And now the tables are turned, and the complaint is that the services aren't there for the public schools. The services are there. They're in the schools. And it's just a matter of recognizing that the demographics have changed and the property taxes should be used, you know, at least to some degree for other schools as well.
And
I also want to point out that the members of the board that were elected now are not Orthodox. They are Latino descent. One of them, I believe, is African-American, and they do represent the interests of other people as well.
Well, the three new ones who were elected on Tuesday, and they were supported by the Hasidic leadership, but still the majority, six out of the nine school board members, I believe, are Hasidic.
And that represents the demographics.
Right. And there are, for people who don't know the situation, the numbers that I've seen are more than 20,000 Hasidic school children in the district and about 9,000 public school children in the district. But, Elisa, as you look for some common ground here, if you are looking for common ground, when you say the private schools, the religious schools, don't have clubs, don't have sports teams, maybe that's a cultural choice, I don't know, but it's certainly considered normal and not extravagant for a modern public school to have sports teams, to have after-school clubs, to have eight periods rather than seven. Most school improvement groups talk about lengthening the school day, certainly not shortening the school day. So it seems to people like a no vote on the budget and shrugging off those things is really just taking money from one community and giving it to another community, you know, beyond what's really okay.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in if I could there. Brian, the caller makes a couple of really important points.
And Elisa, I'll let you get another say, but Marisa, go ahead.
I'd like to clarify one thing. The district has about 20,000 or so private school students.
Yes.
That includes Jewish yeshivas, Catholic schools, any type of private school. It doesn't mean that those students are necessarily Hasidic.
Thank you.
Although a large population of the private school students do belong to the ultra-Orthodox community.
Okay. Elisa, you were going to say?
I am an Orthodox parent, and my children attend an Orthodox private school. And it is, culturally, we would love for them to have sports. We would love for them to have any kind of clubs. The school cannot afford to give it to them because they even have to pay for most of their own textbooks, let alone anything else. My children's school, my girls' school, does not have a security guard. It does not have a security guard in this day and age. Forget the sports. We're not talking about sports here. We're talking about basic necessities that the private schools don't have. And therefore, I think that this whole issue is being, it's not that things are, you know, it's the extracurriculars that these enormous amounts of property taxes should not go to pay. It's not the basic things. We're not taking away reading or writing or the security guards.
They are taking away AP classes. There's been a lot of complaint about that. Students have been written up in the press as having, you know, just a few periods of classes a day with multiple lunch periods or study halls because the staff is being thinned out. Are you saying that it's such a high poverty district between the poor immigrant families and the poor Hasidic families that everything needs to be dragged down to a bare bones level, and that's the only way to spread the resources fairly?
Well, there is a limited amount of resources, and I think we all agree that they should be spread fairly. And when I go to, you know, my children play soccer on Sundays where they pay to use the field in a public school. They play on Sundays. And when I go inside the public school and I see that the children there are playing 5 different instruments in 10 different bands, I wonder, what am I paying for here? My children don't have music. My children have to pay to use the soccer field in the public school.
Probably nobody's playing 5 different instruments in 10 different bands, but you're saying your schools have no music.
Never have, never will. We're trying first to get a security guard for the school.
And of course they're private schools, which makes it entirely different, Elisa, doesn't it?
It does. But when we discuss private schools, that's, you know, this is a democracy. We have the right to a certain cultural background, and this is where we want to send our schools. And therefore, we expect, you know, if we are paying the enormous amount of property taxes, we do expect some kind of support as well.
Elisa, thank you very much for your call. Marisa from the Journal News, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the caller is getting at at the gist of one of the biggest conflicts in the district, and that is that you have this community that's they're all paying property taxes, and yet you know, many of them have children who do not attend the public school system, and you know, there's this split in the mindset, in the view of public school parents and private school parents. I think that the arts and music, sports teams, and marching band, especially in East Ramapo, are some of the, you know, the major pieces of a public school education that these parents look to serve their kids and to help them get into good colleges and to, you know, basically fulfill the American dream. On the other hand, you have people in the Orthodox community who send their kids to private schools who don't necessarily share that view.
Let's talk to somebody on the other side of the issue calling in, Amelia in Spring Valley. Hi, Amelia. Thank you for calling WNYC.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening, and this is exactly what I was going to talk about, the misinformation out there, parents that are not directly involved about in the day-to-day things in our schools. Their community, I mean the Orthodox and the Hasidic community, bring information to the people, and they get the wrong information. You know, the last caller said that the public schools are getting, she went into a classroom and there were, you know, multiple bands, people playing music, and it's, you know, it's not fair that she doesn't have that. But it's misinformation, because we had a wonderful marching band, and that was eliminated. And we have children who don't have anything to do. The school have been falling apart for years now, and every year it gets worse. And I think if people knew, the Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox community, if they really knew the issues, they really, really understood what, when their vote, what effect their votes had on children, I think they wouldn't vote against the budget. They wouldn't vote against the children. This year, people say there weren't any Orthodox running, but we do have 3 people. There are people of color, but it doesn't matter, because the Orthodox community supported them 100%. They even used the same lawn signs that they use every year. They sent out a mailing that said, in French, it said, vote yes for the budget and vote for their candidates, and they sent it to, in Spanish, it says, vote yes. But the one in the street, close to where you see all the Orthodox, they're going to see it every day, it said, do you want to pay more taxes? So if people say, oh, no, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want to pay more tax, so I'm going to vote for these candidates. They didn't tell them that it's school tax. It's not, if you pay $10,000, $8,000, $6,000 per year for taxes altogether, it's not just that. It's not just It's not just tax for everything. It's just school taxes
right.
are different.
Amelia, when the previous caller said that they don't send their children to the public schools, but they're being taxed as the majority, I guess, majority taxpayer community at this point in the East Ramapo District to support the public schools, and their schools don't have enough money. They don't have enough money in their personal pockets to give these kinds of amenities to their private schools, even one marching band, she would say, then it makes sense to them to have only the basics in the public schools if it's coming out of their pockets. What's your basic response to that?
You know, there was a study done by the school district itself where it's shown that the district spends more on private schools than it collects from private parents and taxes. So that answers that question. We have different values in our schools, I think, even though the people on our boards have different values from us and our children. We value music, we value art, sports, that's important. And that helps our children to go to school. Right now, my son, who graduated last year, is in College of Medicine in Boston. So if it wasn't for sports, he was in the marching band. He was the head of the marching band, He played mm-hmm. trumpet. He was wonderful. And the student after him, who was the assistant marching band leader, was going to be the leader. And they just
so
yanked
that
out. So
this is not trivial. This is not just a luxury.
No, it's not. It's not. The children barely have anything to anything in this school. They're stripped. The board stripped the children of everything, and people don't know. I think if the people in the Orthodox community knew how it really was or is, they would not vote the budget the way they do. They wouldn't come out like they do, because I think it makes them angry because they think they're not getting anything. But really, what the school district is supposed to do, they're supposed to give them things like transportations and books, which
yes.
$2 million was spent last year. They couldn't find out where the money went. So they do have issues, but you know, this is a public school. You know, they're supposed to educate children,
right.
and they're not doing it. And people, they'll lie and tell you that we're anti-Semite, we're everything under the sun. But the truth is, they're not being fair, and the board don't have our values, and they don't care about our children.
Amelia, I feel bad for you and your kids and everybody on all sides of this terrible conflict, really. But thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. And Elisa from Suffern, and again, I appreciate your call. And Marisa Nicosia from the Journal News, I think we've heard a pretty good representation from the two calls of how deeply felt both sides are here. And I guess, you know, on the side of the public school children, the tragedy of their fates being controlled by another community.
Yes, Brian, I think we heard from two really passionate parents there. And Amelia addressed something that is kind of a big mystery in the district, and that's exactly how much of the public school budget does go to the private schools in the district. And, you know, the public school is responsible for footing the bill for books and special education and transportation, as she mentioned. In the Journal News' coverage of the district, we haven't been able to get a complete response from the district on that figure, and that's something
uh-huh.
I think that would shed a lot of light on the situation.
Just tell me one thing real quick, and we're out of time, and that is, can immigrants who have kids in the schools vote, or are they not even allowed to vote in these school board elections and budget referenda? Because your colleague at the Journal News wrote about the largest voting bloc not being the ultra-Orthodox. It's non-voters.
Well, in the district, only citizens can vote. Green card holders cannot vote.
Say it again. I'm sorry, I missed your answer.
Only U.S. citizens can vote in the school district elections. Green card holders cannot.
which is different than in New York City, for example, where people who, when they had school board elections here, which they don't anymore, people who were immigrants could vote as long as they had school children, so that at least people with the stake of having a child in the school, regardless of other things about their status, were able to vote in a school board election. I know not every place has that, and I guess East Ramapo is one of the places that doesn't. So this conflict and this tragedy continues, and we'll continue to cover it. I guess they're going to have this re-vote in a few weeks, and we'll see if that budget passes at that time. And just very quickly, can the state intervene?
Well, the state has stepped in an unprecedented way already in East Ramapo. The State Education Department has met with the district administration the last few months regularly as they worked on their budget for next year. By law, school districts have to balance their budgets, and East Ramapo was not in that situation. So they've been working with them to develop their budget plan. The state's response yesterday when I spoke to them about, you know, the election results was that they would continue that work. But your guess is as good as mine about what happens next from the state's point of view.
Marisa Nicosia, reporter for the Journal News, which covers the northern suburbs of New York, as we continue to cover the developments in the East Ramapo School District story. Thanks so much for giving us this time and your insights.
Thank you, Brian.